Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, so with guys like Newton and Winston still being out there, it's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Hello, Chris and I here today. And you, if you'd like to join us at 617-779-0985. Is it just that, like you say, maybe it's just, you know, some of these teams are waiting for the draft to shake out. Maybe teams are looking at drafting a quarterback and looking, you know, like the Chargers. I thought that Cam Newton was going to be a lock to go to the LA Chargers. But they keep saying Anthony Lynn, the head coach, and the organization as a whole is like, nope, we're riding with Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor's our guy. Like, please.
When you're opening a new stadium.
That's a crock, yeah. And you know it. Maybe you have your eyes on Justin Herbert out of Oregon or someone, and maybe, you know, the draft gets shaken up and you don't have it, and then Cam Newton is the backup plan. But I just thought in terms of their offense anyway, like, Cam Newton was going to be a fit there. What is it? Why are these guys still languishing? Is it the knucklehead factor with someone like Winston? Is it just the draft, or is it something else?
Well, I think coronavirus has had an impact for Cam Newton. The number one thing with him, teams want to know that he's healthy. They want to know, you know, with that Lisfranc injury with his foot, that he's good to go. They want to know that the shoulder's good. You know, you can't bring him in. You can't have a physical. You can't, you know, do any of these things. So you want to know that he's healthy. With Winston, I think he's just sort of the victim of a little bit of quarterback musical chairs. There's no obvious place for him to go as a starter, I think. And I think there's one thing that coaches hate. I mean, they absolutely abhor. And that's guys who turn the football over. And that's his MO. You know, and that's why he's not in Tampa anymore. And I think the other teams see it too. I mean, think about this, Jim. You're in Tampa. You have those receivers, right? But not only those receivers. You have Bruce Arians, Clyde Christensen, and Tom Moore, all guys who worked with Peyton Manning. Yeah. Bruce Arians has worked with other excellent quarterbacks, including Ben Roethlisberger. You have that coaching staff and those weapons, and you still throw 30 picks.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And how many were pick sixes? Weren't like nine of them pick sixes?
Oh, such a high number.
Like that.
Remember the game in London?
Oh,
how many
yeah.
turnovers? I think he had like five picks and six turnovers or something like that in that game.
Oh, see, brutal. Absolutely
yeah,
brutal.
It was bad. It was bad. You can't see. Here's the thing on Winston, and he has all the physical talent in the world. I just don't think you're ever going to be able to coach the poor decision making out of him. I don't think it's possible.
Yeah, and in terms of fit, like, and I've seen this somewhere else, but I was like, you know, this makes sense. And not even for, you know, the easy jokes that you could go from one pervert to another, but Pittsburgh, like, have him go to the Steelers. Roethlisberger's coming back from this elbow injury. Who knows how long he's going to last? You have a coach in Mike Tomlin that's dealt with mercurial guys before and Antonio Brown. It's not like Jameis is even as bad or as big of a pain in the ass as Winston Ben, at least on the field.
Yeah.
Maybe he can help coach some of those bad habits out of him, keep an eye on him, keep him in check. I do think that there is some talent there. He was drafted number one overall for a reason. And he's kind of like a big oaf, kind of like Ben Roethlisberger is. I just think in terms of a fit for him, and maybe he can fix himself and fix his career and put it on the right track, and I think he would actually have a real opportunity to start once Roethlisberger goes down, because that's all a matter of time.
Yeah.
That would be the fit for him. That's
where he should go. It's certainly better. Look, they learned the hard way last year that you do have to have that position covered, and better than Duck Hodges.
Mason Rudolph.
And Mason Rudolph. It would make sense, but I'm not sure that Winston, this is where I think the situation will crystallize after the draft, and maybe his agent or someone will pull him aside and tell him, hey, sign a one-year deal, go somewhere where you can learn, and we'll put you back out on the market, because he's probably still thinking, I'm a starter, and he's looking around and saying, where are the places I can go and start? where I would have an opportunity to start. And there just aren't a lot of those places right now in the NFL.
And with Newton here, right, like make no mistake about it, if the Patriots were to sign him, he has to be the star.
Yeah,
like, you're going to fight for your job with Jared Stidham.
Yeah, I don't think so. You would have to commit to him as the starter, at least initially, right? And then you sort of see how it goes. And if it doesn't work out, I guess you cut him. But you can't, let me put it like this. He's not going to back up Jared Stidham. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to have a pseudo competition and, you know, Cam comes out on top, that's great. Could benefit both guys. But if you have a competition, a real one, and Stidham wins, then you got to cut Cam Newton.
John in Virginia on Cam Newton to the Patriots. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, guys. How you doing? What do you think about Cam Newton coming here on a prove-it deal and the Pats moving up to take Tua and putting Stidham in maybe an offensive lineman in a package for the number three pick?
So, again, and like that would maybe be a perfect scenario in terms of, you know, Newton's your bridge guy. Two is the future guy. You make sure that he's fully healthy. He comes back and he's going to be your starter in 2021. You don't have to worry about the hip for this season. It comes down to what we were saying earlier. I just don't think they have enough to move up and get into the top 10 to try to draft Tua.
I mean, I don't know. If Stidham's good enough to get you up to three, then why are you trading him?
Right. Yeah. That's another thing.
I mean, maybe these other teams are just stupid and Bill can bamboozle them, but I just don't think Stidham would
it's just
get
not
it done.
It's not realistic. And the other one, too.
I know he said Stidham in an offensive lineman. I'm assuming he means Tooney, but I'm not even sure Stidham and Tooney would get you up there.
Well, someone else that keeps getting thrown in is Stephon Gilmore, who, you know, he's a defensive player of the year. Yes. He's been phenomenal since he's been here. But he's, you know, 30 now, and that's a guy that, I don't know, like if Belichick's going to trade him, that's one of his get out a year early before it's a year too late type of things. Like, if anything, it's now going to start to diminish with Gilmore. And I know that there's teams that could use the services like Detroit, who traded Darius Slay to Philadelphia so they could use a corner. But is it Okuda? Jeff Okuda?
Jeffrey Okuda is the number one corner on a lot of people's boards.
And most people have him mocked to Detroit at three. So, like, why would they make that deal anyway? It's the age thing with Gilmore more than anything else.
The reason they would make that deal if Gilmore's involved is that Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia are in a situation where they need to win now, and they might not be able to wait for a rookie to develop. You know, that Detroit defense, I need to go back and look it up, but I think it was like 31st or something last year in the league and yards allowed. It was not good. I mean, especially when defense is supposed to be your calling card as the coach. So that would be one potential reason they would do that. Sort of, you know, you take advantage of a team that's desperate.
Matt Patricia, he is one of the how does this guy still have this job all stars, like him and Dan Quinn in Atlanta. Like, you had your chance, fire that a-hole. Like, why is he still the head coach of that team? It's not gonna work. He's a failure as a head coach, and they brought him back.
Let it out, Jim. I know you're frustrated with your Falcons. Let it out.
Oh. I like their new uniforms, though.
You do?
The all-black one, pretty snappy. I don't like the ATL
No,
thing.
I hate the ATL.
The ATL thing is kind
of
ugly.
It looks like they came right out of Every Given Sunday, or Any Given Sunday.
I don't like the lettering, but the color scheme, the all-black, I think, is nice. I think the road is nice. The gradient one, which is the red that goes into the black, well, that's a hideous, like, USFL-type crap.
Yeah, it's
like,
bad.
Yeah, that one's
I'll tell you,
good.
The only uniform I like is the old school Falcons uniform without the ATL, the black one.
Yeah, those weren't bad either.
The Andre Rison, Deion Sanders. I love those uniforms. They never should have changed those. No, I hate that. I mean, the ATL, just the font of it, it looks, I have to say, a lot of these like Nike-ized NFL jerseys look like crap.
Yeah, I wasn't that hot on the Tampa ones. They just basically went back to what they had during their quote-unquote glory years when they won a Super Bowl in 2002. So, you know, the Pewter Pirates, that's what they went back to. Yeah. That all gray one I can get into, but go with the creamsicle color scheme again. Come on. Like, you had your opportunity. You have Tom Brady now. People are going to have your eyes on this stupid franchise that no one cares about. Yours is irrelevant, a franchise I know there isn't professional sports, let alone the NFL. And that's what you go with? I'm with you. Like, so far, from what I've seen from these Nike-ized uniforms,
they're
not great.
They're really not. Great. They're not great. I mean, I liked a lot of the XFL. I am, by the way, mourning the loss of the XFL. I am devastated by this.
I saw your tweet because now Chris, with all the time on his hands like the rest of us, is spending more time on Twitter. Again, I've warned him week after week. It's a dangerous place, bad vortex to go down, but I get it. Everyone needs to kill time. I saw you tweet this initially. I was like, this is a gag, right? But no, you're going to miss the XFL.
I looked forward to those games. I watched them. I enjoyed it. Like I said, man, Houston Roughnecks forever.
Yeah, I kind of liked the AAF for a minute, and then I realized, like, oh, the quality of these games is not that good. So I only watched the XFL all for 5 minutes. But this is it, right? Like, I don't think you're going to see any kind of secondary league ever
again. Not unless the NFL is willing to sort of step up and partner with said league and say, look, we're going to help you, but that means you're a developmental league for us. Which I think would be, you know, beneficial to both sides. But I don't think otherwise you're going to see anybody else. If someone as deep-pocketed as Vince McMahon can't make this work, and I get it, there were extenuating circumstances, a global pandemic. That's about as extenuating as circumstances get.
Yeah.
But if he can't weather the storm and keep going, and since at the risk of sounding irresponsible, since we've been sort of complaining about things that, you know, certain methods of social distancing, I have to say, if there was one league that should have just powered through, it was the XFL. Do you know how many people would have watched if they were still playing?
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. And it's not like you had a lot of fans going to those games anyway. So it's, you know, it's not like people would have been up in arms. So they're like, oh, I need to go to one of these games.
It would have been completely irresponsible. One of the franchises of the Seattle Dragons was right in the epicenter of a huge pandemic there. So I understand why they shut it down. But if they ever could have kept it going, can you imagine right now? Like, people would watch.
They would. Just,
they would have no choice. And the league would, it would be amazing. It would blow up.
Well, look at how you legitimately have people clamoring for this stupid horse thing that they're going to do tomorrow night on ESPN, which, are you watching that?
I don't want to, but I probably will.
I'll tune in for like 5 minutes, just like I did with the NBA players playing against each other in 2K last week. I don't know if you tuned
in. I didn't watch it.
Oh, it was so bad. It just goes to show you, like, if you're going to do, so.
They needed Gamsu.
Well, having worked. As an
esports commentator.
As an esports commentator.
Slash ambassador.
Chris likes to bring up and bust my balls. Early 2000s, working for the G4 Network. I worked the EA Sports Madden Challenge Championship. That's right. You know, commentating on games way before it was popular. If you have guys that have big personalities, it actually can be somewhat entertaining for a few minutes. Not that long. I don't know how people get into this, but... the one game I watched, I think it was Hassan Whiteside versus, I forget who he was playing, but who he was playing actually had a big personality and was like into it and talking trash. Hassan Whiteside either had smoked like an ounce of weed or just has zero personality because he just sat there like a rock and didn't say anything. And after a few minutes, I'm like, dude, talk trash. Like, do something. Talk about his mom. Like, do nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the feed was terrible. I'm like, I can't watch this. This is garbage.
I didn't even try. I didn't watch
it. Oh, it's trash. And then the horse thing, like, please.
I'll give it a shot. I'm hoping that at its best, I'm hoping the horse thing is like, the old Home Run Derby, which I used to watch when I was a kid. You know, the
black and white one.
The black and white one.
Common Killebrew versus Mickey Mantle.
Yeah, exactly.
They're playing for a carton of cigarettes.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping it's like that. I'll give it a shot.
The thing I don't, you know, why I would have tuned in is if they could actually show off their athleticism and do some crazy moves. There's no dunking in the whole thing.
Dunk. Yeah.
The whole thing, the whole reason to do horse, Chris, is to pull off something that the other person can't do, right? Like, and you can't dunk? That's whack. Like, what? It's just going to be, like, goofy shots?
I still think it could be good, like, over-the-head shots, like, crazy, you know, bounce shots, like Steve Nash, like, kind of heading the ball in, like, soccer style. And it's interesting because it's not just NBA players. You have, I think there's some WNBA players involved, and it crosses genders. So I'm going to give it a shot. I'm hoping that it's good. I'll step away from some of my DVR'd MLB Network games to watch it.
Do they air those? So you have MLB Network. You've been telling me during some of the commercial breaks, you've been watching some of these old games from before you were born. And it is funny, even if you watch a few clips of that, while a completely different game it is, ball is thrown, catcher gets it, throws it back, ball is thrown, catcher gets it, throws it back, ball is thrown. No taking deep breaths, fidgeting around with the uniform, fixing the hat, deep breath, looking in, shake it off. No, hold on, got to tug on the uniform. Like, oh, my God, it's interminable. Old baseball is great. Go back to old baseball. Maybe you get me back. So I can understand why you're watching
those. And
it must be like watching a completely different sport.
It is, and if you DVR, you can fast forward through the commercials and stuff. It's kind of cool. And it's funny because you listen to some of the old announcers. I was telling this when I came in. So I was watching this 1981 game. It's opening day, actually, 81. It's the Red Sox and the White Sox, Carlton Fisk's return. And it's the White Sox broadcast on WGN. And it's Harry Carey and Jimmy Pearsall. And they both sound like they're totally soft.
Yeah. That was a hell of a game here. But did they show those old Home Run Derbies from when we, you know, they used to rerun them when we were a kid, the old black and white ones?
on MLB Network?
I haven't seen them recently on MLB Network, but I know I've seen them in the past there, and I used to watch them before. They used to run them on ESPN, like, all the time before, like, Up Close with, like, Roy Firestone. They used to run those all the time.
So those, yeah, I got a kick out of those as a kid.
I love those.
Yeah, it's Roy Campanella against Al Kaline. They're playing for a carton of Luckies. Luckies taste better, cleaner, fresher, smoother. Be happy, go lucky. Like, it was. They were, like, playing for butts.
Yeah, it was awesome. I love that. It was great.
All right. So with that, we'll move on here. We do have to get to some of Chris's thoughts on the Tom Brady interview with Howard Stern and some of the stuff we got out of that. Chris, I don't think was a big fan of the interview as much as other people were. So we'll get to that along with your phone calls. You want to join us, 617-779-0.
This is Jasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't know if the book will ever be written by you, but even with Belichick, again, I don't know a lot about sports, but I do know about working for people who sometimes got jealous of me. I mean, I literally had bosses in my career that weren't pulling for me in a weird way. They didn't like me getting the credit. I literally had a boss say to me, I don't know why they keep writing articles about you, Stern. I'm the guy who's running this company. And it was debilitating to me. I left. But with you and Belichick, to me, Tom, it's like you're the guy throwing the football, and I understand he's the coach, and I know he's a brilliant guy, but it's got to be somewhat annoying when there's always this question, Tom Brady, greatest of all time, but if he didn't have Belichick, it wouldn't have achieved because Belichick is the brains there. And I imagine in some level there were times you laid down at night and went, this guy, and all of that, because I know it was me. I'm the one studying the tapes and coming up week after week with a new game plan for myself so that other teams don't recognize my pattern. You know, it wasn't Belichick. In your legacy, does that go through your head?
I think it's a pretty argument, actually, that people would say that, because, again, I can't do his job and he can't do mine.
Right.
So the fact that you could say, would I be successful without him, the same level of success, I don't believe I would have been. But I feel the same in vice versa as well. To have him allowed me to be the best I could be. So I'm grateful for that. And I very much believe that he feels the same about me because we've expressed that to each other.
That's part of the over 2-hour interview that Howard Stern did with now Bucks quarterback Tom Brady midweek on Sirius XM Radio. I know Chris has some thoughts, but I like that clip, but I only want to play that clip because more for the Howard aspect more than anything else, Chris. Because to me, that's the rare, exceedingly rare glimpse of the real bitter Howard Stern, who's angry at the world and those who wronged him for the way he started that, like talking about program directors who thought they were bigger than him.
Yeah,
like,
that was awesome, actually.
That's the Howard that I loved. That's the Howard that I became a super fan of. That's the Howard that taught me it's okay to hate. And that's the Howard that I think most people got into before he became a pandering bore who wanted to appeal to moms and win favor with those he used to rag on, like Ellen DeGeneres. Oh, my God, what a shame. It's the first time I had heard his show in years. I tapped out years ago. This is a shell of what it used to be. He's become like an old nana. I can't do this anymore. Just a further proof that everyone in life will eventually disappoint you. Be that as it may, Tom Brady, a lot of people want to now say you can put him in that category too. Tom has disappointed me. Yeah, he forgot where he came from. Now he's a Buck. I hate him. He's a loser. He can fall on his face. And like, I'll get to that later, my feelings on people like that. But the interview as a whole, some of your takeaways.
Yeah, I just thought, look, I just thought that there were times when Tom was going to say something kind of revealing and Howard Stern like stepped on him. And I know Howard Stern is radio royalty and he has to do his shtick and he's used to interviewing these celebrities. So he's probably more interested in the personal stuff. And he got some great personal stuff from Tom about the marriage with Giselle. But there's a part there where he's talking about Belichick and Brady's saying there's so many wrong assumptions. And I know how he generally feels about me. And then he starts talking about how he was in uncharted territory as an athlete because I started to break the mold of what so many others had experienced. I got to the point where I was an older athlete and he's starting to plan for the future, which is what his responsibility is. And I don't fault him for that. That's what he should be doing. That's what every coach should be doing. If I'm ever in a position of authority, I would understand that too. So I recognize that. We talked about it, and he's about to go into what they talked about, and Howard asked some other question about something inane. And I'm like, oh. And that happened like a couple of times in the interview. It's let him, let Tom talk and get to some of these things, because I think Tom, even though he was definitely more raw than he's ever been in that interview, and on certain topics like that, it was taking him a little while to warm up, but Stern had made him comfortable, and I feel like he would have gotten there, and instead he gets like cut off, and it's like another question about like, well, you know, you're the greatest, right? Or like, if I were you, Tom Brady, if I look like you, Tom Brady, I'd never get married. I'd be doing all these chicks. It's like something like that. He would go back to his shtick.
And that speaks more to Howard's interest. And while I overall thought it was a good interview, and, you know, I think he is an excellent interviewer. I'm not, you know, as much as I'm down on him and what he's become, he is an excellent interviewer. It could have been better if Howard actually was interested in sports. Like, that was something real juicy. You could have got more out of him in the dynamic between him and Bill Belichick, but he'd rather hear about the life of Tom Brady celebrity more than Tom Brady football player.
Well, look, I thought Howard Stern asked excellent questions. I just thought that, and maybe it's because he's not a sports fan, you know, I don't know as much about Howard Stern as you. I thought his questions were good. It's just, in a situation like that, you're getting an answer that leads to another question. Mm. A follow-up, right? And this is the journalist in me. I'm like, okay, you have to listen to what people say. You have your list of questions, but listen to what they say, because if you're listening, there's a follow-up there. And to me, there was a clear follow-up of sort of like, well, what were those conversations like? What was said in those conversations? And he didn't do that. And there was another time in there where Brady said something about, he asked Brady the question about when he knew he was going to leave, and he got a really good answer in terms of, well, you know, I probably knew it was my last year going into the season. But he said something, Brady said something like, you know, we had conversations, but nothing substantial in terms. And it's like, whoa, okay, so you did have conversations about staying here. What were those conversations like, Tom? And why would you say they weren't substantial? And were there any substantial ones after the season ended? Because I know you talked to Belichick on the phone. Why wasn't that a substantial? That was like a whole thing to go down.
Yeah.
And he just blew right past it. He blew right past it. But you know what my number one takeaway was? Tom Brady doesn't know what kismet is.
Oh, that shouldn't surprise you. I mean, he's
he was like, what does that mean?
I
was
brilliant, like, football mind, but I don't know. Remember some of those emails that we got to see during the Deflategate thing? He's, I don't know if he's the most worldly and well-read gentleman as most professional.
That stunned
athletes.
Me. It was like, you know, Howard used kismet. And,
you know, when stars align, Tom, you know, something.
And Brady
like
was like, what's that?
Yeah.
And I was stunned. I was like, he doesn't know what kismet is?
You could have taught him in all the years that you covered
tried.
The team.
Yeah.
The one thing that stood out to me, so there's a couple of things. The he and the dynamic with Giselle, and we'll get to more of that because I think some of that audio was kind of funny to listen to. But when there was one that kind of bugged me, the one thing that did bug me that Brady said was when he said he didn't care about legacy, like, that's just a crock. His whole lifestyle brand is about sustaining his legacy and how it can help benefit his goal to play until he's 45 years
that's
old.
That's a good point.
The diet, the book, the workouts, the pliability bands, the nuts, the pajamas, all of that stuff. It has to do with,
I own all of that, by the way.
Of course you do. Yeah, but okay. It has to do with help him keep on playing to further solidify his legacy as the greatest to ever play the position. So that I found to be disingenuous. It's like, dude, just own it. Like, you know, you like being the GOAT. You've trademarked all these names. You now have trademarked Tampa Bay and Tampa Brady and all this stuff. Like, legacy is important to you. So that just reeked of false humility. That was like, oh, please, what are you trying to do here?
The pajamas are pretty great.
Do you really have them?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, God. How much did you spend on those?
I got him as a gift.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. If you have any leftover thoughts from the midweek Brady interview with Howard Stern, feel free to join us, 617-779-0985. Hold that thought,
okay.
Chris. We'll come back, and we'll get to some of the Giselle stuff from that interview next, along with your phone calls here on Gasper and Murray.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Did you go to like a family therapist to hear what she's saying? Because, you know, guys are the worst to hear. Did you?
So.
Yeah, we went to a marriage therapist.
She actually wrote me a letter, and it was a very thought out letter that, you know, she wrote it to me, and I still have it. And, you know, I keep it in a drawer and I read it, you know, and it's a very heartfelt letter for her to say, this is where I'm at in our marriage. And, you know, it's a good reminder for me that things are going to change and evolve over time. What happened and what worked for us 10 years ago won't work for us forever, you know, because we're growing in different ways. And, you know, I'm influenced by different people and situations. So is she. We're not together all the time. Then when you come back together, you know, she may have moved on an opinion or a feeling or a thought. I may have moved on an opinion or feeling or thought. And then how do you figure out a way to get it together? But, you know, for me, a healthy marriage wasn't what always worked for me. It was really, and it shouldn't be what always works for her. So even, you know, there's family decisions that are made. And I think for men, most men want to focus on their career. And it's very easy for men to focus on their career.
Tom Brady again with Howard Stern midweek, talking about his wife and the letter that he got from Giselle, which he still keeps and reads. I was jokingly saying on Felger and Maz, as we were breaking down some of this audio that day, Chris, that he almost has to keep it like old school identification papers, like show the letter, show that you still love me and that the marriage is still important to you. Like, all right, I'll hold it up. Still got the letter. Still love you. I'm like, oh boy, what a lot of work. But I think a lot of Patriots fans, after hearing that, it now solidifies their feelings that they look at Giselle as the Yoko Ono of this situation. In other words, like they feel like she played a big role in convincing Tom Brady, no longer deal with Belichick's crap. They undervalue you. Move on. Go on. Do you feel that way? After hearing some of this stuff?
I think the Yoko Ono of it is strong, but she's definitely an influence on him.
No doubt.
She's a really brilliant and in some ways ruthless businesswoman, and she would never, it's completely foreign to her to put up with what Tom has put up with and to acquiesce the way he has in the past. And I do think that was a significant influence this time around. And also the other part of it is the story of her life, you know, being discovered in Brazil when she was young and going to places like Japan and all these places around the world where she was young and on her own and didn't know the language and had to figure it out. And that was a real challenge. And that's why you hear Brady talking about this is a challenge going to Tampa. I think that's part of it too.
Yeah. She comes from a world where the contracts are real, Chris.
I know.
What they put on the paper is what she is going to receive. And I'm with you in that, as accomplished and as worldly as she is, of course she's going to be in his ear telling him you're undervalued, you're underpaid, you should be getting more, they should be treating you better, because that's what her world is. And so, yeah, I think she was an influence. I don't really look at it as a negative. If I'm happy he left. I wish he went to a better team that had a better history. But he's going to a talented team, and I still think he's going to be reinvigorated. And I think it's going to be fascinating to watch, if there's going to be football, him on the Tampa Bay Bucks and Bill Belichick without him. And you're now also hearing this week that there's a lot of people that are licking their chops, like Rex Ryan. I don't know if you saw some of the quotes that he had from Get Up on ESPN earlier in the week, saying that, give Bill Belichick Geno Smith. What would his record would have been with Geno Smith? I love the shots of Geno Smith and the beef that he and Rex Ryan have between each other. But those kind of things. Someone else said that if Tom Brady was on the Baltimore Ravens over the last 20 years, they'd have 10 Super Bowls. A lot of people ultimately are doubting Bill Belichick, and they're waiting for him to fall on his face.
Oh, they want him to. Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, this has always been sort of the great debate. Who's more responsible? Who needs whom more? And we're going to find out a little bit. Now, it's a little skewed because Brady's going to be 43 years old, and I think it's a little harder to judge in that way. But I do look at it, and I feel like Bill's the one with more to lose here.
I agree.
Because if Brady doesn't do well, people will say, it's the Buccaneers. It's beat Nick Bruce. Yeah.
Age was going to catch up with him eventually.
Yeah, age caught up to him. Beat Nick Bruce, runs a loose ship down there. It's all that stuff, the biological clock of a quarterback. But if it's Bill, Bill's sort of still, in his prime. He still has his full faculties. And if he goes out there and puts together a 6-10 season, then you look at it and you say, oh, Bill's a brilliant coach. But like a lot of these other coaches in the NFL, they're really as good as the quarterback. And I always go back to when I use this example, I use it mostly for ownership, but the Washington Redskins are a dumpster fire. But that one year RG3 was really good. They made the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, they have one of the worst owners in sports. I mean, it's just a terribly run franchise. But they had a quarterback who played at a Pro Bowl level. They made the playoffs. So that just tells you how important that position is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it, fair or not, if it goes sideways for Belichick in the next few years and Brady is, even if it's 10-6 and they squeak into the playoffs and, they maybe win a round, that's going to be a win for Brady. But if the Patriots here in these next couple of years go 6-10 or 7-9, they don't make the playoffs, now that it's even expanded, all people are going to look at that and see, see, it was all about Brady.
But I would say, conversely, if he does really well, he being Belichick, with Jared Stidham, and Stidham turns out to be a borderline Pro Bowl player, that really, I think, burnishes Belichick's legacy, because now it's like, okay, this guy found Brady in the sixth round.
Yeah.
He found Matt Cassel. He found Jimmy Garoppolo, a second round guy. And now he found Jared Stidham. And these are all guys, you know, potentially, we're projecting with Stidham, who were really good, take teams to the playoffs. In the case of Garoppolo and Brady, obviously took teams to the Super Bowl. So that would be like, that would, you sometimes you look at Bill and you're like, man, how could his legacy possibly be enhanced anymore? You look at this situation and you think that it's a no-win situation for him. But it is, there is a win for him here. And it's that the team's really good with Stidham. And suddenly it's like, oh, Bill found another guy. And he's finding all these guys outside the first round, unless they draft Tua.
Dave in Weymouth, you're next here on Gasper Murray. We want to talk about Patriots quarterbacks. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for doing the show and these times. I really appreciate it. I love the distraction. Look, if we could get him dirt cheap, would you maybe take a flyer on Josh Rosen? I mean, the guy was a top 10 pick, and he was like a huge recruit coming out of college. It just seems, you know, like if we get him for like a six-round pick, like if Miami takes Tua. What do you think?
Yeah, I take him.
Yeah,
I liked him coming out.
So did I. And the issues were concussions and whether or not he actually loved playing the game. But he did go 10th overall to Arizona. Yeah. Was kind of a bad look that they gave up on him after 1 year. But they wanted Kyler Murray, so I get it. But, yeah, you know, like what Dave said, a sixth rounder? Yeah, sure. What the hell?
Yeah, I'll roll the dice.
23, I think. He's still in his early 20s.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't really had a chance. And you know what's interesting? Now, I haven't talked to anybody down in Miami, either with that team or the writers. But last year, Chad O'Shea's there, so he should have some base knowledge of the system, depending on how well he picked it up. Now, they moved on from Chad O'Shea, and one of the reasons they did that reportedly was that they thought the offense was too complicated for younger players. I wonder if Rosen was part of that. But still, you'd think he'd have at least a baseline in the Patriots offense based on that experience with the Dolphins.
Talk about another quarterback here with James in Lowell. Hey, James.
Yeah, I'm number one, I want Cam Newton, but how about Jake Fromm? Good third down percentage.
So this, yeah, and I know Maz is high on him, Jake Fromm from Georgia. I feel like, so I like him, but I feel like you have Jake Fromm and Jared Stidham. You know, like it's almost the same size, you know, decent decision maker, SEC, played in a big program, but like, I don't know, fine, if you can maybe get him third round, but I don't think he's going to be around by the third round. Like, I don't want to see him go at 23.
No. I mean, I think he could be around in the third round. I don't know. Fromm is a tough guy to project for me. I could easily see him being the Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott of this draft. But at the same time, I'm not sure about the physical tools. And I just look at how much talent was around him. And I'm fearful that he's, like, a little closer to, you know, Ken Dorsey than one of those guys.
Oh. Yeah, you're not high on this draft.
I'm not
at all at that position.
No, not really.
So you think it's like Burrow, Tua, big drop, then Herbert, then
I think it's Burrow, Tua, little drop, Herbert, big drop, rest of the way.
Yeah.
I like Herbert, but I think I like Herbert more than most people. I think I do.
Oh, you definitely do. If you're a quarterback from Oregon,
here we go.
I'm putting the big F of failure right in your face before you play one down in the NFL. Such luminaries as Akili Smith and Joey Harrington and now Hawaiian Tebow. Oh, God. You go to Oregon, you're a quarterback, you're going to stink in the NFL.
Hawaiian Tebow.
I wish I could take credit for that. That's Drew McGarry, formerly a Deadspin. That's one that's like, oh, God, I wish I was more talented and funny. I could come up with a nickname like that. It's so perfect. Oh, Mariota stinks.
Well, you've done good stuff with, you know, I'm trying. You know what I want to do? Again, I don't know his background, but you've been good with Jimmy G. But I really want this Presbyterian Jimmy G to catch on for Jared Goff.
Yeah.
That's my dream. Presbyterian Jimmy G. That's Jared Goff.
Oh, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to touch on yet another dumb trade made by Bill O'Brien. And, you know, the Rams aren't getting raked over the coals enough for that either as Brandon Cooks goes to yet another team. Boy, ooh, that guy, was I wrong about him. I want to touch on that and some of these new rule changes that have been proposed the NFL is going to have their league meetings and vote on those at the end of next month. We'll do that next. You want to join us, have at it, 617-779-0985. Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know this song, Chris?
You probably don't, right? This crazy little thing called love?
No, close. It's I Believe in a Thing Called Love by The Darkness from the early 2000s.
It sounds very familiar.
I believe in a thing called love.
Oh, yes, okay.
Just listen to the rhythm of my heart. It was one of my favorites from that era. Also a favorite when I'm really hammered to do occasionally a karaoke. Remember karaoke? Remember going out? Remember times? Oh, those were fun.
Oh, boy. I might ask you later, but I'm curious about what times in your life, if you had known that, like, I don't know, 20 years later or so that this was going to happen, like, what times in your life you would have changed? And I'm thinking of one very specific time.
Oh, gee, I mean, there's no shortage of times, Chris. But, no, if there's a time I could probably have back, especially now that we have been told stay home, times are over, nightlife over, events are over, sports are over, everything's over, everything is terrible. when I was really psychotic about running, like I got crazy about running. It was the best shape I was ever in my life, but did I use it to my advantage? Not really. I just became like a crazy running addict all the time. Rain, sleet, snow, the kid was going to run nonstop.
That's impressive.
Averaged like 6 to 7 miles a day. Psychotic. But boy, was I lean. I was like rock star thin, like size 33 waist, like a toothpick. Great photos of me at the time. Long hair too. Boy, was I going out and taking advantage of it? No, and that was the thing. I just like never went out. They'd be like, oh, we're going here. We're all going out. A bunch of us are meeting. Nope, got to run. Missed out on my run earlier. I got to run like a psycho. So around 2005, for that whole year, just like a crazy, obsessed psycho with running. Nonstop, didn't go out enough. Should have taken advantage of more times. And boy, I wish I could have that time back now to go out and have those times, because times are over. Chris.
What ended your crazy running thing, just quickly?
Oh, really? Like the physical breakdown. So in a weird twist, like my dad also got psychotic about running around the same time in his life. And I have flat feet, bad knees, and like a bad back. Like it's the Murray curse, one of many. And I remember him telling me, he's like, you're not going to be able to sustain this. You're going to end up basically like crippled. And it happened. Like your body can't take it. Running,
really?
I think it's the best of all the cardio workouts. And if you really want to like not think, and just, you know, it's the reason why right now, like, you're not going to stop people from running. You know, wait till Twitter freaks out when the weather gets warm. Like, why are all these people out? Because they want to get their minds off the hell we're living in. But running, it's the best, the absolute best to take your mind off that. And just, you know, it's the one thing. It's in front of you, step after step after step after step. It's and you'll get in phenomenal shape. But it's terrible for your body. Absolutely horrible. And especially if you have bad feet and, you know, bad physical makeup like I do. Again, the Murray curse. My body broke down, so that's it. I was in too much pain all the time, and I was like, F this. And then I started going out again and enjoying times. Oh, how I miss times. Times were so good, Chris. You and I used to have times. Hey, you want to meet here? Want to go to Brico, have a drink?
Yeah.
You bring your wife, I'll bring mine.
Yep.
Let's have drinks. Let's have times. Now it's just like, let's have a Zoom party. Oh, God. What a hell we live. It's just...
It's not as bad as you're making.
No, it really is, Chris. I've been in a bad way here for a few weeks now. It's... It's just not like I can't fake it. Like I'll keep showing up.
I feel like part of your problem is who you work with. I feel like that's part of your issue.
Maybe.
Because in normal times that can be challenging, mentally challenging, mentally taxing, right?
Yeah.
In normal times. But you have other outlets that distract you from that. But now there are no other outlets.
True. Yeah. And those guys do it. And I give them credit. The Mike and Tony do a hell of a job of like being up.
Oh,
like,
they've been phenomenal.
They're up. I can't fake the up, man. Like I'm not built that way. Can't do it. We have too savvy of an audience, and I would feel like I would be doing anyone that listens a disservice to be like, hey, yeah, no, great time to be here. It's 98.5, the Cheer Hub. Come on, you guys want to talk? Let's be optimistic. Like I was into the forced optimism. I liked the heavy hand of Roger Goodell and how he was talking a couple of weeks ago. Now this is me. This is waving the big old white flag. It's over. If I found the magic lamp and it had one wish left in it and I rub that thing and the genie pops out, what's your one wish? Just let me sleep and tell me when it's over. That's it. Like let me sleep until that point.
Wait, you wouldn't be like eradicate coronavirus?
Oh, well, sure. Yeah. No, that's But say that's not on the table. Okay. Like, I asked the genie about that. The genie says, like, well, now, what are you crazy? Like, I can't fix. I'm not that kind of a miracle worker. What's your one wish, a-hole? Oh, then just let me sleep and wake me up when it's over. That's going to be like a year and a half from now. I'm good. Let me sleep and then wake me up when it's over. And we can go back to real life. Oh, God, it's just... I can't. It is. It's a strain. Like, oh, no, everything's good, guys. You know, like, we're all this together. It's 98.5 The Cheer Hub. I tell you, like, a hell would be. If you missed the opening rant, you can go listen to it on the podcast later. On 98.5, the app, 98.5sportshub.com. It could always be worse. I do try to have some perspective. Yes, it could always be worse. I could be working in, you listen to these top 40 stations right now, you're forced to be up. If you're not up, they're going to whip you. Things aren't, you know, it's not that great right now. We got to stay positive, right, guys? All in this together. Everything's good. Here's little Britney Spears for you. Get your cheer going. I told you, there's some stations right now playing Christmas music to try to, like, motivate you. Oh, my God, that's what it's become. We can't have a little cheer right now, but we can give you some cheer with some Christmas music. Here's some Christmas music here at 98.5 The Cheer Hub. Oh, can't do it. Chris, all right, before I go on another crazed tangent here, a couple of things. This Brandon Cooks trade.
Brandon Cooks.
One of the guys that I was lusting over a few years ago when we were doing our yearly show right on the ramp as they open up Patriots training camp that first Saturday that we get to do that as camp opens. Sure, that won't happen this summer. But Brandon Cooks, when he flew, I was like, this is going to be their best weapon since Randy Moss. I was lusting for the season that we were going to get with Brandon Cooks. And, you know, he was good.
He was good.
Definitely not great. A lot of padded stats. Boy, at the time, a lot of people, the blah community, God forbid you say anything negative about Brandon Cooks, but, you know, he usually came up small in some of the bigger games, and he was useless in the playoffs, and then got hurt like an idiot in that Super Bowl loss to the Eagles.
He wasn't useless in the playoffs. He was, even when the AFC Championship game, with those pass interferences.
Yeah, I suppose, but Amendola was still better and more important
than that game.
Brandon Cooks, I think it's further proof that here's another team that's going to find out that Brandon Cooks is, you know, he's good.
Do you think he's the Jennifer Aniston of wide receivers?
No, it's kind of a bad analogy because I'm sure that Brandon Cooks actually, like, you know, is into sex.
but I meant just from a football standpoint, like, you know, on paper, looks like a home run, but then when you actually experience it, you're like,
oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, you know, good.
That is a good analogy, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had a whole thing with Jennifer Aniston. Again, looks good on paper. And there's a reason she can't keep a man. Like, what's the deal? Is it like, is she just not into it? Is when you do get to that point, is it like, you know, that bad part of Lynn on a hot summer day? And it's like, what am I smelling? Like, you know, who knows? So, but Brandon Cooks, good. You know what area? I used to live over there.
I'm from Lynn, so obviously I know what you're talking
about. 1A Exchange Street. You get that on a July day. You open up your windows. You're like, what the hell? Jesus, what is happening here?
sorry, I'm sidetracking. Yeah. Go ahead. Brandon Cooks. A lot of people blahing you. Numbers are there.
Well, because during that time, like, I thought he was there. He was ultimately a disappointment, and I think it's further proof of his disappointment, what a disappointment he is, that the Rams have moved on to him. He's on yet another team now. What is it, 4-3, whatever it is? And I find it laughable that that you look at this trade, and Bill O'Brien basically traded Nuke Hopkins one up for Brandon Cooks. Like, what an idiot.
You know, I like Billy O'Brien a lot, but I, if anything, watching him work in Houston as the coach and the general manager has given me an even greater appreciation for Bill Belichick, because it's not easy to do, and so many coaches end up being in a situation where they just sacrifice the long term for the short term, like, all the time. And I had this up, and I closed it by accident. I lost it. But take a look at the Houston Texans, like, future draft picks. Like, how many holes there are, you know, moving forward in their draft portfolio. And it's because he's making all these sort of instant gratification moves. And, you know, the one with DeAndre Hopkins, obviously they have concerns about the contract. But it's like, well, how much money are they going to buy? For the money that they're going to pay David Johnson and Brandon Cooks, I would rather have Hopkins.
So would I. And I think he has the best hands in the league. I think he's the best wide receiver in the league. I think he's
better than anyone that you could put in front of me. He's always been my favorite guy here these last couple of seasons. And it was what? Because it was just a contract squabble, so that's why you move on? He is better than those two options. That makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense to me either.
And Deshaun Watson's, you know, right to be upset about this and basically saying, like, hey, by the way, this is my last year here. I'm not going to resign.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if they blow that. I mean, if they lose Deshaun Watson over this, then, you know, I mean, that's a major, major miscalculation. I will say this on Cooks. I've always liked him. He's just not a number one receiver. The other thing with Cooks in Houston is apparently Jack Easterby, who's down there and in a very prominent front office role with Bill O'Brien, used to be the character coach of the Patriots. I guess he vouched for and went to bat for Brandon Cooks, who is now going to be on his fourth team since 2016.
What is it with Jennifer Aniston, though? Again, can't keep a man. When I worked in Top 40 prior to this job, I everything has to be up all the time. Like, everything's good here, you know, on Star 99.9. Like, everything's good. Can't talk bad about anyone, especially the celebrities. Celebrities make us happy, don't they? Oh, coming up tonight on The Kardashians. Like, oh, God. But I would talk openly about my feelings on Jennifer Aniston with my female co-host. And she would get real mad. Like, you can't say this kind of stuff. Like, no, I think we should ask the question, why can't Jennifer Aniston keep a man? Like, what is it? She a dead fish? Is there a fish issue? Like, who knows? Like, what could it be? But I think we as a society should make a deep dive on that question someday. We won't, because it's that would offend polite society, and I've probably gone too far here. As Chris is just silent and saying, you're hanging yourself with each second and each word, Jim. So with that, let's pause. I'll give you some terrible news here in the Sports Hub headlines. Because that's all it is all the time now. And I'm not kidding about that.
Very sad.
And so we'll get to that. And then let's touch on the rules. You make the rules. No, you make the rules. These new rule changes in the NFL, Chris has some thoughts on those. And if you want to join in, 617-779-0985. It's Casper Murray here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.